Sterling Waddell, Senior Vice President for Food and Agribusiness Research and Advisory, Rabo Agri Finance.
All right. You came out with an article yesterday that kind of caused a lot of people to take another look at what's facing us in agriculture right now, and it has to do with value of land, especially rental rates, and the imbalance that it's created for agricultural producers. Could you give me a little synopsis of why land is out of balance with other costs for farmers?
Yeah, sure, Ken. So agriculture has gone through what most people term a super cycle. We're beginning in 2006, 2007. There were some pretty dramatic increases in commodity prices. Now, that created good margins, at least at first, but over time, the cost of inputs have come up, and the cost of land, particularly the cost of renting land, has increased to the point it's significantly more than it was back in the earlier 2000s. Then, subsequently, we increased production, we increased acreage, the price of the commodities came down, and now have dropped well below break-even, even well below the level where land values are currently dictating they'll be. And that's creating a very negative scenario for a lot of farmers across the United States. In fact, anyone who's renting land is struggling with these prices, not just on the land value side, but also on the farm inputs, whether you're buying fertilizer or crop protection. The cost has just become too high to sustain these lower commodity prices, with these lower commodity prices.
Let me take this from two different directions, one of them being the landowner situation, the other one being the farmer situation. And we're talking about rental of land. Are these landowners the bad guys? Or are they just uninformed as to the economic condition that renters are facing?
There are no bad guys in this scenario. This is an economic process. The landowner has an asset, and it's in their interest to get the most value they can out of the asset. But at the same time, they need to be cognizant of what's happening in this market so that they can protect the value of that asset going forward. So that's an important role that they're playing. On the farm side, the land needs to be farmed at least at an economic equivalent to being able to break even so that you can sustain going forward. So the land owner or the land renter is trying to find a scenario where they can actually sustain operations. And so from both of those perspectives, there's a role to play and an important objective to meet.
For the landowner, suppose that they lose their renter this year. Do they only have the option of either leaving it bare or lowering the price? What might they do besides that?
It depends on where you are in the country. If you're in Iowa or one of the states where we have very strong year-to-year production, the land's going to be farmed. The problem is, and we saw some of this last year, if you're not aware of what the cost of production is and you're not aware that you're losing the value on your land, there's several things, the farmer can't continue to make an economic profit. There's several things that can happen. One of those is that you might actually lose long-term value in the land because corners can be cut. You can have a reduction in the nutrient program, for example. You can have a reduction in the crop protection program just to try and break even. And that really degrades the value of that asset long-term, because after it gets depleted of nutrients or you get, say, an herbicide-resistant weed infesting the land, then it costs more to bring it back into production. So it's in the landowner's interest to make sure that you're getting all of this done, and usually that means offering it an economic value. The other option is, and last year we saw a lot of landowners, not a lot, but a few landowners, found that about March, they were no longer landowners. They were now farmers, and they were looking for custom farming and other ways to get the land planted. And that can happen more and more because the farmer would farm it if he could. That's what farmers do. They like to farm, they produce, but credit is starting to tighten, and there's just not the availability to capital anymore that there used to be. And so it's really the credit side that's telling farmers you can't continue at this rate. And it's also the fact that a lot of the liquidity that was there is no longer there in their production.
Do you have a number of how many acres of farmland might be taken out of production based upon the scenario you just put forth of the landowners not being able to get someone to rent their land in some regions?
Well, moving forward, we estimate that we're going to have to contract acreage, and let's just say in the three major crops, so that's corn, wheat, and soybeans. We could also throw cotton in there as well. In those crops throughout the United States, we're going to have to contract acreage somewhere between 3 and 5 million acres in order to bring supply back to where we see the long-term balance with demand. So where can those acres come from? A lot of different places.
All right, let's turn over to the person who is the farmer who's renting the land. Of course, farmers never want to give up land because they're fearful that they would not get it again. But as you said, the lender is the one now in charge in some cases, especially with the farmer losing money. Do you see a certain percentage of farmers this year, similar to last, handing that land back to the owner come September?
Actually, it would probably start to happen right now, the negotiation. And the credit condition is tightening substantially. The problem is we're at the edge of where we believe that there's a real serious problem. This is what we're calling the edge of liquidity. So a lot of the liquidity that had been built up at the farm level and was sustaining this movement forward, it with land values and other input purchases has been depleted because of 2 to 3 years of losses at that level, at the farmer production level. Since that has been depleted, now farmers are looking at leveraging, if they haven't already gone to this point, leveraging whatever they have in equity. So that can be land, it can be other assets they may have accumulated. So we've gone from liquidity, now we're looking at equity. And when you're leveraging equity for a crop that is more and more looking like in 2016 and then in 2017, where you'll have serious headwinds against the price going higher, that becomes kind of an ominous position. So could they finance this year using equity? Quite a few farmers probably can, but how long will that last? And if they use all the equity this year, next year becomes a very serious problem.
Sterling, how much do you think that the value of land in the Midwest has to be reduced on crop rent to allow growers to return to profitability?
And that's a very good question, Ken. As looking at each individual case is going to be important because it's hard to make general statements. There's so many different operations and so many different things going on. But from some of the analysis that we've done, even county to county, there's differences. Some of the analysis, just as a general rule, we're seeing land rents running in the $1.50 to $1.60 per expected bushel of land. That's what you expect to produce the next year when you actually make the agreement. And we see that needing to drop to $1.25 to $1.30 per bushel. So that's a pretty significant drop within 1 year. So give it just kind of a rule of thumb. But there's a number of other things that could happen in order to help us offset some of that, like the landowner taking some of the risk through crop share program or agreements or other types of agreements that might be out there. Either way, we see it having to drop by at least that much and being somewhere in that $20 to $30 range per bushel, for expected bushel of production.
Back to farmland itself, you know, everybody was trying to buy farmland because it was one of the few assets that was increasing in value during the last 10 years. Was there very much farmland that really sold during that time? And is there a prospect that more land will come on the market at a cheaper price in the future?
One of the keys to that higher, when we were driving farmland higher and higher at a fast pace, was the fact that there was a lack of supply on the market. So that was one of the key things that was continually indicated on a lot of surveys, that there just wasn't a lot of supply coming on the market. So to answer the question, was there a lot of farmland being sold? Relative to how much farmland there is, there was not. So not a lot of farmland changed hands at that period of time over the last 10 years or so. There was some. In the future, the big concern is the net value of an aging farm population. That farm population is around, depending on which crop it is, but it's somewhere in the 56 to 60 range for the primary operator. And as that population gets closer and closer on average to retirement, and there's a possibility of net worth going down, we see a scenario where there may become a lot more land available. Now, whether it's going to be sold or whether it's going to be leased or just more available to lease is a question. From our perspective, it will probably become much more available to lease, and that will create a consolidation, but there will probably be some sold as well.
Is there anything you'd want to comment on further?
I think two things that we would recommend. The first is landowners, the call to action here is to clearly understand the economics of farming and what the impact can be on the value of that land asset. And then make sure that you're getting the economic value of the land that way. For farmers, it's to evaluate where you are. If you are in a position where you need to start using equity, then understand that you are using your net wealth to finance the operations of that farm, and you need to apply it in the most efficient way possible. In some cases, that may mean evaluating what you're farming and stepping away from acres that are not as productive and haven't turned a profit and won't turn that asset that you're investing in it, it won't turn that over enough to be long-term sustainable. Now, at the same time, I would also say that if you do have equity and you plan, and then you can be in a good position to make it through this and be even stronger on the other side.
That's Sterling Liddell with Bravo AgriFinance. I'm Ken Root on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.